Wouldn't it be great to have a podcast with a qualified host who can turn complicated tax content into easy to understand everyday examples? Well, finally, there is. Welcome to Talking Tax with Aidan Moran, covering everything taxation from individual to corporate, income tax, corporation tax, capital taxes, and everything in between. This is Talking Tax with Aidan Moran. Now here's your host, Aidan.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from taxexams.ie. We have lots of tax and accounting events coming up over the next couple of months, and we do have a small amount of availability for one-to-one tuition, so I'd be delighted if you would check out my website, www.taxexams.ie. What we're going to look at in today's session is the area of tax residency. And the reason why this is such an important area is because how can you ever do a tax question or a tax computation if you don't know what, say, the individual is actually taxed on? It's quite difficult. In fact, it is impossible. So it's really an individual's tax residency position which determines what the individual is actually taxed on. And that's what we're looking at today. So we're going to look at just three main sections that we need to examine. The first being the concept of residency, the second being the concept of ordinarily resident, and the third area is the area of domicile. So let's start with the area of residency. An individual will potentially be taxed in Ireland if they are resident in Ireland, but how can we come to that determination? The determination whether or not an individual is actually tax resident in the state. Well, it's going to be a matter of counting the number of days that the individual spends in Ireland in a particular tax year. And remember, the tax year now follows the calendar year. And we know the calendar obviously starts on the 1st of January and ends on the 31st of December each year. This calendar year basis going from Jan to December for a tax year only actually came into play from January 2002, which is the same day that Ireland and a lot of other EU member states welcomed the introduction of the euro currency. So it's really not that long ago. The tax year used to, prior to 2002, it used to go from the 6th of April up to the following 5th of April. And there was a short tax year in 2001. So there are two main residency tests. Well, so the first being that an individual is resident if they are here or present in the state for 183 days or more in the tax year. So, for example, if I was to arrive into Ireland, let's say on the 1st of April, and if I was to stay here until the end of December, then I will be here for approximately 9 months, which would be more than the 183 days, and therefore I will be resident in Ireland for that year. The second test looks at the number of days spent in the state over a 2 year period. So it's being the current year and you include the previous year. This rule or this test is sometimes called or referred to as the look back test. And so an individual using this test, looking at the current and previous year, an individual will be tax resident if the total number of days over the 2 year period is 280 days or more. And if that's the case, then an individual is going to be resident in the state in the current year. There is one small condition in relation to this rule, in that there must be a minimum of 30 days in each year for this rule or for this test to be applied. So, for example, if you were here in, let's say, 2021 for the full year for 365 days, and let's say you left at the start of January, you left, say, the 10th, 15th of January, then of 2022, then you're not going to be resident in Ireland in 2022. Because if you take the first rule, you're not here for more than 183 days. You're here for, let's say, 15 days. And under the look back test, although you were here for more than 280 between the current and previous, it's 375 days or 380 days, then that rule cannot apply because you're only here for a few days in January, for 10 or 15 days in January. You do not have the required minimum of 30 days in each year. Yes, you've got 30 days in the prior year, but you don't have 30 days in the current year. So that's not going to help you. Another concept is, what does it actually mean to be present in the state? Well, it used to be a midnight rule in that if you were here at midnight, then you were deemed or regarded to be resident for that day. But this was abolished back I think in 1999. So, because what people were doing is, were people were potentially, let's say they were coming into the state at 7 a.m. in the morning and they were leaving Ireland at, let's say, 11 p.m. at night. So they weren't here at midnight, and therefore they weren't regarded as being resident for that day, although they were here for the vast majority of the day. The midnight rule is gone since 1999, and you're really resident if you're here at any point during the day. And there are some exceptions for passing, let's say, through airports where you remain airside, or force majeure, or there are some exceptions. But in general, you can accept that if you are present in the state at any point in the day, then you're going to be regarded as being resident for that day. So if we look at go on a little bit further and discuss the area or the concept of becoming ordinarily resident. Well, ordinarily resident, it's a little bit stronger than resident in that it's, you acquire it over a 3-year period. So in order for you to become ordinarily resident in Ireland or in the state, you need to be resident for 3 consecutive tax years. So that's 1, 2, 3. And you will become ordinarily resident in year 4. So, and the word consecutive obviously means in a row. So if you were to be resident for, let's say, year 1, year 2, and then for year 3 you were in a different country, you were in France or wherever, then that the consecutiveness is broken. So in order to become ordinarily resident, you need to be resident in Ireland for 3 years in a row. And you will become ordinarily resident in year 4. Likewise, in relation to losing your ordinarily resident status, in order for you to lose your ordinarily resident status once acquired, you must become non-resident for 3 consecutive tax years. And again, you will lose your non-resident status. You'll become non-ordinary resident once you have been non-resident for 3 years in a row. And it'll obviously apply in year 4. So it's only in the 4th year that you either require it or you lose it. The final concept that I want to look at is the area of domicile. And this is an interesting concept in that it's not defined in our Taxes Consolidation Act, our big Red Book, our primary source of Irish national tax legislation. But it's rather a general law concept which has been developed through the courts over many years. And in my view, the area or concept of domicile really is, it's really where you belong. It's where you have your permanent residency. And an individual can't be without a domicile. Broadly speaking, there are 3 main categories. There's a domicile of origin, there's a domicile of choice, and there's a domicile of dependence. The domicile of origin is acquired upon but on an individual's birth, and you usually acquire it from your father, assuming that your mum and dad, that your parents are actually married. And I said that, you know, the domicile on birth, it has got nothing to do with your nationality. I don't care where you were born. It's irrelevant. If you happen to be born in Ireland when your parents were here on holidays, yes, you are an Irish citizen and you would have an Irish nationality, but this does not mean that you would be Irish domiciled. It would be wherever your parents or wherever your father belongs, wherever he really calls home. There's a domicile of dependence in that. What that means is if you're a minor and if you're, let's say your father was to change his domicile, then your domicile would automatically change, assuming that you're a minor. There's also a domicile of choice. And this really is a difficult area in terms of to actually prove. You can, yes, acquire a new domicile, but it's quite difficult. And I find students in exam questions, they go and make up their own questions in this area. They make up their own facts, which is not a very clever thing to do. It's very difficult to acquire a new domicile. So I'm Irish domiciled and I want to choose a new domicile. I want to be domiciled in the UK. What I need to do and what I need to be able to prove is that I sever all my links with Ireland. I have no friends in Ireland. I have no family in Ireland. I haven't got a house in Ireland. I don't like Ireland. I don't like the weather. I have nothing to do with it. I want to permanently sever all the links. Let's say I want to acquire a UK domicile, is that I want to go and live in the UK. All my family and my friends are in the UK. My house is in the UK. My burial plot is in the UK. My long-term future is in the UK. I don't like Ireland and I don't want to talk about being Irish anymore. Pretend. So in order for you to acquire a new domicile, you can't just ring up the tax office or in your returns and say, yeah, I'm a French domicile this year, or I'm a German domicile. It's up to you. To actually prove it. There is, you can have a little luck in your own time outside the scope of this podcast, the domicile levy. I'm sure I will cover it and have a little look around. It was 5.2 million backgammon. If you have a little search for that in online, you'll find some interesting articles. And so we talked about the concept of residency, about ordinarily resident and about domicile. And I'm very sorry if I bored you, because why do we care? Well, we care because an individual's position in relation to their residency, ordinary residency and domicile will dictate what the individual is actually taxed upon. For income tax and for capital gains tax, it'll also bring in capital acquisition tax. So it's a very, very important area, a very, very important concept. I will in time have, I've got a number of charts that will quickly show you within a couple of seconds what the individual is taxed on. And if you're interested in getting these charts, just let me know. They're very useful for the ACA exams, for the ACCA exams, any undergrad tax exams, because within about 2 seconds, you need to know, based on your residency, ordinary residency, and their domicile, what they're taxed on. If you do not know that, well, I would suggest that you don't bother doing the tax question, because you can't answer it unless you know that. So I hope today has been of some use. Again, if there's any queries, any comments, any issues, any concerns, feel free to reach out to me. Those wanting some more personalized, maybe one-to-one or group support, have a look at my website and please do get in touch. But for now, take care and goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Talking Tax with Aidan Moran. Aiden is a fully qualified chartered accountant, a chartered tax advisor. He's a full-time tax and accounting lecturer and has over 15 years working in the area. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us at taxexams.ie. For questions and comments, send an email to info@taxexams.ie and join our Facebook group at Tax Accounting Training. See you next time.